Praise God. Thank you, worship team. I just have such a good time worshiping the Lord. Maybe we should extend it for another hour. Huh? The Chinese congregation might not like that, but hey, they can join us. No, better not. It's great to worship the Lord together today. I just want to extend a shout out to a group of young people that I think, I always call them our next generation of leaders, their age bracket and where they are. They're from the Epic Ministry, which is a crew or Campus Crusade Ministry in UT San Antonio. So there they are. Be nice to them later. They came to visit, and whatever ministries they are part of, it's so good to have you guys join us. Welcome. I believe that young people, as they serve the Lord, as they are committed to Jesus Christ, they can change the world. You have lots of time to do that. And by God's grace, and as we are studying through Romans, you can. You can. In this passage, I wish that we would do this. I hope you will read it every single day. If you read this passage every day, I think your lives will be different. I think that you will believe that God can. I believe that no matter what travails you might go through, you would know that you are, yeah, more than conquerors. You will be just in a place where you can trust God to believe that all things are possible. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for the opportunities that we have to worship you today. Thank you so much for being here, your presence. Spirit of the living God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts from your words. Lord, let it not be mine. Let us not just get an idea of something that has nothing to do with you. But Lord God, would you speak to us from your word, your revelation. Illuminate our hearts, Lord. Allow us to understand and grow deeper and ever closer to you. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This is an awesome passage. I mean, come on. We use this passage all the time, you know, when we are struggling. But you this is just coming along with all those the other passages that we have been studying through Romans, and certainly in Romans 8. This is a big passage. Usually I go about 3 or 4 or 5 verses. This is 11 of them, so it's a lot. But it's awesome, and I might come back to it a little bit later on as we move on after this. But I entitled this message, Super Conquering Saints. And there's a reason for that, because that word super conquering is a word there. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But this passage is important for many, many things. It tells us who we are, it tells us what we are, and it tells us how we relate to the Almighty God and how we relate to the world as we live in it. Now, as we begin, there's a few things that's going to be kind of pivotal, and I'm going to go very methodically, exegetically through these scriptures. There's a lot you think we're not going to get through it. It's not going to be a lot of in-depth discussion as much as I can because we don't have enough time. But these verses are important. First of all, the first part I want to deal with is what we call, and they stated there, guarantee statesman. Statesman. This is something that you and I need to know, that God has guaranteed certain things, and he said that to us. So we begin in verse 29. For those whom he foreknew. Before I get into this, there's this chain, unbreakable chain. A lot of people have, I didn't put that together. Others have done that. There is this unbreakable chain that's there. Once Paul begins stating it, he goes on, and it's going to happen. These aren't things that you say, well, maybe that happened, maybe. No, once it starts, it's going to go all the way to the end. This is God doing it, so no one can stop it. It's not you, it's not me, it's not us determining whether we want it or not. This is what God does. But it begins with this, for those whom he foreknew. And I'm going to stop there, and I'm not going to speak a lot about it, but here's a place where a lot of people will debate a lot. There's all kinds of commentaries. There's all kinds of areas of the amongst the evangelical world in the Christian churches that have lots of debates here. And so we won't want to go too much on that, but I do want to state a certain thing to you, certain few things to you, and to let you know how I see it here and what our church believes in as a, just, I guess, as a our statement of faith, okay? And it's not necessarily that it's wrong if you disagree with this one. This is not the crucial, pivotal thing. But it does make a difference how you live your life. For those whom he foreknew. Here's where the Calvinists and Arminian and everybody in between, those of you that are new here, or if you don't know the scripture real well, you might not know what I'm talking about, but there is a group, a segment of the population, the Christian community, that believe in a very extreme Calvinistic view, which means that God has predestined and chosen every single person that is saved, and those that are not, he has not chosen. That's why it's not. Now, that may be very simplistic of it, but I want you to understand. I want to stay here and talk about it, because the thing I really want to talk about more here in this passage, in the first two verses that we're talking about, verse 29 and 30, it's not about how we come to know the Lord. It's the fact that we will go to the end. God is going to preserve us to the end. That's the important thing I want to talk about. But I want to state this. For those whom he foreknew. That word foreknew is the word proegno in Greek. Proegno. You can find that. And the word proegno is used often. And it literally means this. Knowing ahead of time. Foreknowledge. It literally means foreknowledge. It means nothing more than foreknowledge. It doesn't give any particular reason why, what, how he foreknew. It's just that he knew. This means that you go to other parts of scriptures in the New Testament, you'll find the same word, the same base word, and it just means that you knew ahead of time. Doesn't mean you determine anything ahead of time. It just means that you knew ahead of time. So this is important for us to know, because those who don't believe that everybody's predestined to one way or the other says, you see, it is God. He knew ahead of time. Of course, he's the almighty God. He knows ahead of time. And others say, oh, no. Not only did he know ahead of time, he determined it ahead of time. So there is the difference, okay? Just want you to know. And you know what, brothers and sisters, on both ends, it's fine. You can be in this church. You are born again believer in Jesus Christ. It doesn't say you're a heretic one way or the other. Not at all. Sometimes we debate it a little too much. It's even caused splits in churches. It shouldn't do that. This is a focus that some have put into, but we just need to know that. Now, the word proegno, again, it is foreknowledge, knew ahead of time. And so, God, he knew ahead of time who have determined to be saved. And this gives a kind of a free will passage. If you don't believe this, then you think, well, there's no free will. But here's a free will. The reason I believe this as a foreknowledge and not a foredetermination is because, well, that's one reason I became a pastor. I believe in sharing the gospel with people. I believe that if I don't tell someone about Jesus Christ, he may never hear, he may never know, and he will never enter eternal life. I believe that. And so for the last 39 years, Barbara and I have been a part of this ministry. And that is the most important ministry for us. And that is to tell people about Jesus Christ. Tell people about the gospel message, because Romans 1:16, it is the power of God unto salvation. Another reason, too, is I believe in the scriptures when it says John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And then he says, for whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Another thing, and I'm going to get to that a little bit later on as we move into Romans, there's a passage that's really important to me. And I want to read it to you. In Romans chapter 10, here's what it's about. If you want to know how someone is saved, you know what does it mean to give your life to Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 10, verse 8, it goes on like this. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. Is Paul talking about this. In verse 9, he says, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So in other words, a choice that you and I make. Verse 10, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, verse 11, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jews and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. Verse 13, really important for me. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. One time I was in a prison, I shared it before, if you've been in the church, a woman's prison in Ukraine. It's the first time they let anybody go in the prison at the time. This was 1994. So I went in with a couple of other pastors. We're petrified. We've never been in a Eastern European, Russian-style Soviet prison before. And there, we had an opportunity to do this, to share the gospel with these women and girls who would incarcerate some for life, tell them that Jesus loved them. And at the end of it, we called them up. 300 of them came forward to give their lives to Jesus Christ for the first time. 300. I read this and I say, you know what? What if we didn't go in? What if we didn't care? What if the churches didn't care? What if Christians didn't care about those scoundrels in prisons? Would they have given their lives to Jesus Christ? I would say no. And that's why I believe this passage here, when it talks about foreknowledge, I believe it is foreknowledge. God knew. And a second reason, another reason, not second, is the two words here that I want to share with you. The word foreknew, he said, for those whom he foreknew, is the word proegno, right? I told you that already. Then he goes on, he says, he also predestined. This is the word that we're talking about here, predestined. Predestined is not just knowledge. Predestined is that you have made a choice. God has made a choice. That word is not proegno, that word is prorison. There's two separate words. And in my simple mind, say, if God wanted to say one thing, why would he have to use two words? Doesn't make sense that he said he foreknowledge, and then because of the foreknowledge, went to the predestination. Now, those of you that believe in that, I'm not convincing you. I'm not trying to. I just want to let you know why. I believe that God gives free will for those who wants to choose him or not. But he knows it. And the neat thing about this is those whom he foreknew. In other words, someone that has given his life to Jesus Christ. I gave my life to Jesus Christ in May of 1970. And because of that, he knew, and therefore he predestined me to become conformed to his image. See, that's what it is. He had predestined me. He determined, Dan Ho, you, because of your choice in Jesus Christ, and your choice in choosing Jesus over other things, your choice in giving your life to me, asking me to become your Lord and Savior, I now predestine you for the things, the life that I have in mind for you. You're going to be conformed to my image. And so for last 40-some years, you know, the Lord has been working in my life, changing me, changing me, changing me. And it goes on because there is this chain that is unbreakable, right? Not only does he predestine me to be conformed to his image, he also called me, and he also justified me. And here's a good one, the end part of it. Ultimately, he will glorify me. That's something that is guaranteed. This is an unbreakable chain. Once you give your life to Jesus Christ, these are things are going to happen. I know there's a lot of people out there, even more extreme, that believe that you can lose your salvation at every little turn. You say, but how about those people that, well, frankly, they were Christians, I thought, and then years later, they changed their mind. They changed everything. They started living other kind of lives. I got to tell you, I know some of them, because I became a Christian in 1970. We were on fire for God. There's a whole pack of us. We did all kinds of stuff. We shared the gospel in the streets of Chinatown. We walked up and down Times Square, you know, preaching Jesus. We carried Bibles. We wore T-shirts that say, God loves you. We didn't care. We were not scared of being ridiculed. We did all those things. I know these friends of mine. They were good friends. We fellowshipped all the time. We went to church just about every day. Going to church was not hard for us. And a few decades later, I want to tell you, I can name you one after another, after another, after another, dozens of them whom I would not consider Christians today. They don't go to church. They don't care. They live lives that are totally ungodly. See, what's happening there? What's happening there? You know, I want to tell you something. There are those that could pretend to be Christian. They don't even know it. There are those that, because they're in the culture of it, you know, you're in somewhere. I still remember when I was going to school, we used to have roommates and everything, right? And it was the funniest thing. I didn't realize it. There's this girl walking around speaking with a British accent, really heavy British accent. Oh, I guess she's from England. No, she wasn't. She just roommate with someone that was. It was weird. She picked up her accent. And you wouldn't know it until you found out that she was right here in good old America, you know, that she was born and raised. You see, these things can happen. So sometimes we got to be very careful, because in America, we got hundreds of thousands of Christian churches. And sometimes people are going to the churches. They might not know Jesus Christ at all. But you know what? Who knows? The Almighty God knows. That's what it says. Those whom he foreknew. Let me tell you, if he knows, you have given your life to Jesus Christ. You have declared him as your Lord and Savior. You believed in your heart. You've done those things that the scripture says. He is going to move you forward. And you don't have to worry about the hiccups and stuff that happens in your life. You know, sometimes you're like, oh, I don't know. I struggle with this sin. I just can't seem to get over it. You know what? God can give you victory over it. Absolutely. But don't you worry that because of your sins, you're going to lose your salvation. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. And there are people that say, you know, am I good enough? I've heard enough people who don't think they're just good enough. You'd be wrong, because it's not about you. It's about the Almighty God. He's the one. Once you have given your life to Him, and He foreknows you, He's the one that's going to predestine you in the life that He has designed. He's going to call you into. He's going to justify. And ultimately, He is going to glorify you. Isn't that great? That's what God has promised. Now, the second thing we find here, I love it. I know it's scary. Seven questions. It's like, wait, man, how long are you going to go on this point? Not that long. Paul goes on. You just get that feeling that Paul is so excited about what he's talking about, right? He's so excited about what God has given to him. The Spirit of God is putting his, you know, pen to words, you know. He's just so excited. You can get that idea. He said, what then shall we say to these things? Now remember, it's not just this passage we're talking about. It's the passage last week and the week before, right? So all things work together for good, right? God works all things together for good. Why? For those who love Him, His people. What then shall we say to these things? He said, well, obviously, this is not even a real question. It's a rhetorical question, he seemed like, you know. If God is for us, who is against us? And then you stop and say, hey, no, I know a lot of people against us, right? That's not what he's talking about. Of course there are people against you. There are powers that are against you. Satan is against you. He's against you. There are people there that don't like you at all. There's all kinds of situations. Being a member of God's family, being a Christian, does not mean that you're going to be well-liked. In fact, you are not going to be well-liked. In this world, you're not going to be liked. Because you have morality, you have standards, you have things. And you go around telling people, you know, there's only one way. They don't like that when you say, do that, you know. The Hindus, the Buddhists, they all say, what are you talking about? Our way is pretty good, too. What makes you think your way is the only way? Well, the scripture. Well, we don't care about your scripture. Right? You're not going to be well-liked. But if God is for us, who is against us? The Apostle Paul is saying, who can be against you that would overcome you? You got the Almighty God. You say, are you sure? I prayed a lot of times to God and didn't quite answer me. I got the sickness. He hasn't healed me. I asked Him to take care of the situation. He didn't. You know, we can all go through some of these things as if that is the case. But the Apostle Paul writes and goes on. He asks another question. He who did not spare His own Son, but deliver Him over for us all. How will He not also with Him freely give us all things? He basically is saying, if God is giving you the most, don't you think He'll care about the least? You know, I think sometimes we get to a place where we just don't believe it. We don't believe that God cares about the least. I remember one time, it was a pretty desperate situation for me. It was no big deal, but I lost my keys to my car. I lost it, you know. He said, what's the big deal event? Well, it would have taken all day. I had to go somewhere else to get it, get the car towed, to get the key done, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, ah. And I remember thinking, well, I'm not going to get ask God for this. This is not important for Him. But I stopped. The Lord really convicted me. You can't pray that I would help you find your keys. I guess I didn't believe that God would answer little things, you know. And I stopped and prayed. And I'm not saying it happens all the time, but the most ridiculous thing. After I pray, somehow my hand kind of went to the passenger seat, went down the chair. I don't know why. And there that stupid little key was. You say, oh, that's just coincidence. But you can call it what you want. Didn't happen until I prayed, okay? I want to tell you that right now. I still remember my son experienced that. And here's my son. He was a teenager. And he lost his contact. Back in those days, you couldn't get a whole lot of them. You know, you don't get many. And I remember he was at church, and I was at home. And I kind of just looked around. I said, what is this? Because I don't have contacts. I don't know what they look like. So I picked up this little thing. I was just going to throw it away. I said, hey, maybe it's worth something. I don't know. I held on to it. And then suddenly, phone call. And Ryan's on the other end. And he said, Dad, did you find my contact anywhere? I said, oh, maybe that's it right there. Sure enough, it was, right? But that's not the thing. You see, what happened was he lost his contact. He realized that he was with his youth group, and he stopped and asked the youth group together to pray that he will find his contact at the very moment I found his contact. You say, well, that's coincident. There's so many coincidences, right? I want you to know that God cares. God cares because you know why? He who did not spare his own son, if he gave his own son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary, he did the biggest thing possible. Is he not going to care about anything else? Now, if I don't find the contact, if I don't find the key, there's a reason. God always has a reason. There are no unanswered prayer. God answers it in different ways. Sometimes he answers it very miraculously, very supernaturally, very spectacularly. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes your answer is going to have to wait a little bit. But God always answers. Why? Because he gave us all things. He gave us his own son. He is not going to hold back from caring about the smallest things in our lives. And that's why when Barbara asked you to come up to pray, you know, there's no prayer that is too big, and there are no prayers that are too small that God would not answer. He goes on. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? I love this one. And the next one too. Who is the one who condemns? So one of the things that human nature, we are really bad at. We love to do that to one another. We like to make accusations and condemnation toward one another. This is common things we do. We always like to think badly about people. We like to sit around, gossip, and talk all kinds of things. This is the world, and sometimes it gets into the church. But I want to tell you, who brings a charge against God's elect? You know who? You know Satan, right? The book of Revelation talked about that. Satan is always bringing charge. Oh, he's no good. Look what he did the other day, you know? You can't take him. Can you imagine he's doing that to the Almighty God? He's bringing condemnation to us, to you, to me, all the time. And sometimes we hear these condemnations. Sometimes we hear these accusations. Sometimes we think it, and we go home, we can't sleep, you know. We can't help ourselves. We just think, God, I'm just not good enough. Oh, man, I don't know how many times I've heard when I share the gospel with people where they tell me we're just not good enough. I'm just not good enough to be a Christian. I'm just not good enough to live that kind of lives. I can't do it. I said, it's not about you. It's about God working. Oh, no, it's not. I'm not good enough. Why? Because there's someone that's accusing us. Humanity is being accused by the enemy. The accuser himself, Satan, he does that all the time. And so Paul writes, who will bring a charge against God's elect? Who is the one who condemns? Who will separate us from the love of God? Who can take us and say, you're not good enough for God's love? The answer is clear. No one. No one. Do you know why? Because Jesus is the right hand of God interceding. Remember the word interceding? Helping us in a time in a situation where we can do nothing about it. He's interceding for us before the Almighty God. You have a high priest. You remember last week. You have two persons that are praying for you. The Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. They're both interceding for us. Interceding for us before the Almighty God. So who's going to condemn us? Satan says, you know, that Dan Ho, he's a scoundrel. You know he was a scoundrel. And Jesus, uh-uh. No, I paid for his sins already. You have no business saying that. You know, they have no life. There's no way. They have no possibility. They just hated you, God. They never served you. No. They belong to me now. You have no business. This is the Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, interceding for you and for me. So if you feel bad about yourself, don't. The Lord Jesus is taken care of. He's got your back, so to speak. And finally, he goes on, not from the beings that would accuse us, not from the beings that would cause us harm, but he says, will tribulation, situation, distress in your life, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword. Now understand, all these things that the Apostle Paul is saying, he's not making it up. He experienced all those things. You remember in the book of Acts, his life, all these things he experienced, every single one of these things, he lived it out. So he's giving a very personalized, very empathetic understanding of what the world can do to him and to us. But he says, "What? With all these things, they cannot do a thing to us. They cannot do a thing to us. Why? Because God has given us this unbreakable bond. There's no way somewhere in that chain link that's going to break off and we just flee out. It's not going to happen. See, because our God is that awesome God. So he goes on to the last part, which I would just spend a little bit of time there. He affirms our invincibility. Isn't that great? But in all these things, verse 37, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loves us. I love this word. The word is hupernikomen, hupernikomen. In case you don't know, you know, those of you that buy Nikes and wear Nikes, the word Nike comes from the Greek, and it's actually a Greek goddess of victory, Nike. And they use that word. So they actually kind of copy, you know, Romans a little bit here. Hupernikomen. It means super, hooper, super in the Greek, super conqueror. You're not just a conqueror, but you are a super conqueror, okay? You and I are super conquerors. He says in verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, any more extreme than that, death or life, nor angels, not even talking about people who can hardly do any damage to you in any way whatsoever unless you let them, but these are angels, principalities. Kind of scary sounding, right? Nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height. Actually, the word for height here is interesting. It's talking about starry height, the highest of stars, or depths, the lowest of stars, and stretching out whatever you can go, as far as wise you can, nor any other created thing, just in case you can imagine something in your life, will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, you and I have the capacity to conquer any and everything. You say, wait a minute. I'm not really sure. That's my life. See, a lot of Christians today are constantly being defeated. They're being defeated because they don't know the power of the living God, the spirit of the living God in them to conquer, to overcome. That does not mean that you are, it's not talking about, you know, you're suddenly going to be the super champion, you know, or you're never going to encounter any difficulties, or you're going to be first in everything, or you're going to win everything, you're going to always be prosperous, healthy. No, it's not talking about that nonsense at all. It is talking about something deeper, greater, and more wonderful than that, and more eternal. It is something that's so deep, because in us is the living God living there, the Holy Spirit, telling us and enabling us to live out a victorious life. A life that, oh no, it's going to be, you know, difficult. It's going to have all those things that the Apostle Paul just talked about. But you are going to overcome those things. Why? Because Jesus loves you, and his love cannot be ever taken away. The Spirit of God is in you, and the Spirit of God empowers you to be the person that God wants you to be. So what is keeping you from being a victorious person? I think, first of all, a lot of times it is simply that we don't know. We don't know. And we listen to the enemy too much. We listen to him telling us, oh, you're no good. No, you can't. That's horrible. We're listening to those things. Instead, what we need to do is believe in the Word of God. This is the Word of God. So I want to encourage you guys, and I'm going to end here, to go home every day this week, see if it doesn't work for you. Just read this passage. Pray through this passage. Ask God to speak to you through this passage. And then as much as you can, by God's grace, live out this passage. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for making each and every person who knows you here a great and awesome conqueror. Oh Lord God, would you allow us and help us and enable us to be conquerors in our lives, but also, Lord, to enable others to see how you, because of who you are, to be able to conquer by believing you. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for this passage. In your name.